We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 386, article Freedom, title The Freedom of the Individual. Questions may be asked via kab.tv, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. We're in Kabbalah for the Student, page 386, The Freedom of the Individual. Now we have come to a thorough and accurate understanding of the freedom of the individual. However, that relates only to the first factor, the source, which is the first substance of every person, meaning all the characteristics we inherit from our forefathers and by which we differ from one another. This is because even when thousands of people share the same environment,
meaning the one who carries... Sorry, it's page 387.
Thus, anyone...
What does he want to say?
Where is the I? The point that the I, which I can refer to, the free me, not dependent on anything, not because I was made in a certain way, not because I was educated in a certain way, not because I was influenced by the environment, not out of shame, fear, jealousy, lust, honor, that I must act in a certain way, that I'm not even aware of it, to how I am. Where is that point in me, that in that point I don't depend on anything and on anyone? Not on the Creator, and not on the environment, and not with my qualities which I was born with, what I was educated for, nothing. Is there a point like that in me or not? And if there is a point in me, what is that point? Where is it? I'm not looking for something big. At least something. Does it exist in me or not? If there isn't, then the I does not exist. It's some sort of machine that does some actions, biological, genetical actions, or the reshimot, or the genes, hormones, the impressions, pressures from here and there. And then the machine works, and that's it. So, nothing to talk about here. Waste of time in this life. Or is there in me a point which I can find that does not depend on anyone and no one can touch that point, and that's the I? That's the question. Because everything else, it's not worth anything. So we're reading, sorry before it was a mistake, page 387, third paragraph. We're having problems finding the place here.
What is the first cause for me, which is the long chain of people, one after the other, from one generation to another, by which we set the character of the individual as the one that inherits? Whereas about the other three generations, which are thousands of people who are standing one after the other in one person, finally each individual is considered as a public machine that is standing ready for the public to use it for their needs, meaning to become available for two types of public. On the side of the first one, it became available for a big public who were one after the other. B, from the perceptive of the three other factors, he has become subordinate to his contemporary public. This is indeed a universal question. For this reason, many people and above oppose the above natural method, although they thoroughly know its validity. Instead, they choose metaphysical methods or dualism or transcendentalism, or to depict for themselves some spiritual object. Meaning, why did humanity choose religions, faith, all kind of forces? Why do they think there's the next world? Why do they think there's a person has a soul? Why all of those things? What is happening here? Yes? Because they cannot find that point that truly, whether he is in a person, whether he is a machine, then we have nothing to speak about. If we like all the still vegetative and animate, we are also the same. So that's it. This is life. As Engels said, life is a form of existence of a protein. There's a protein, and it's form of existence. It calls life. There's microbes, there's animals, and there's plants, and there's people. So it's a form of existence of a protein. Well, there is some addition in it. Where is that addition? Show me. Bring me something. Let me feel it in me. If you cannot touch it by hand, bring it for me to see. So, because no one can pinpoint it, no one can emphasize it out of a person or teach the person that it is in him. All kind of metaphysical, philosophical, transcendental and religions and belief and what have you, in order to nevertheless give a person the illusion that there is something in you, that you are special. How it sits within the body, in man's soul, and it is that soul that learns, that operates the body, and it is man's essence, his self. Meaning all kind of nonsense that people developed throughout history, that as if it has something beyond the matter. A protein matter. You're looking at me as if you disagree, yeah? Okay. Any questions about it? Please, go ahead. These are clear things, I think. And perhaps these interpretations could ease the mind, but the problem is that they have no scientific solution as to how a spiritual object can have any contact with physical atoms to bring them into any kind of motion. All the wisdom did not help them find a bridge on which to cross that wide and deep surface that spreads between the spiritual entity and the corporeal atom. The science has gained nothing from all these metaphysical methods. Meaning, do not think that in a person, as we see, there is in that flesh and blood, that there is a spiritual thing in it. There wasn't, there will not be, maybe, but not within that flesh. Not within the flesh. Meaning, to approach a person and tell him, develop your soul, or what about your soul, or soon you're dying and you're going to go to hell or paradise, it's simply nonsense and a lie, because a person has nothing more than is in him. It's 80 kilo of protein, that's all. Hence, as he said, all these methods we study thus far, or in the beginning of the article, it doesn't matter. Dualism and and the method of many multiplicity of gods, or one God, or nature, or the naturalist, or all the materialists. Doesn't matter what. All of them are, at the end of the day, a lie that a person invented out of this world, out of his life, which has no relation to spirituality in it. Spirituality is a completely different quality in order to bestow that cannot relate to a human body, to the that received, to that our corporeal material level, which is existence only. That's A. B, we cannot find within us the part that is truly separated from us, from all the qualities we have accumulated from birth, from all that we have been educated, the part that is free. We cannot find it. So to throw it and say, this is the soul, it's there in you, in some place, it is simply lying to a person and divert him off the path where he might have a chance to do come to a state where he will acquire his soul. Yes. Yes, all the systems are in page 126 in Article of the Peace. It's related to the Hebrew text. That's where he talks about the Article of the Peace. What's the relevance of this discussion and this perception if the person does not sense it, does not feel it? Okay, there's no free choice, but I feel that I do. Also, an animal feels like that when the dogs are wandering the streets and like that, sniffing around, where would they find something? Yeah, so he also, everything that is a big or a small machine to a certain extent feel itself existing, to that extent it feels that it has free choice, even a little ant or a baby, it doesn't matter what, it does not sense that it isn't free. Only if you close it above its desire to develop, then it feels that you control it by something, but otherwise it isn't. I'm going now to free place, vacant, everything is okay, nothing pressuring me, I'm not limited by anything, I feel myself free. What is free? My desires, no one rules them. I feel them. Hence, I think that I'm free. So what is the point here that a person doesn't have free choice, but he feels himself irrelevant to him? He doesn't perceive reality as he depicts here. He depicts a puppet, and a person doesn't feel like that. So what's the relevance? Tell him, develop, understand that you have no free choice. So that's what he's talking about. But as long as he doesn't feel like that, so we're not just turning to a person just like that, so you have no free choice, you're an animal. Rather, we turn to a person who starts to sense. People start to feel their lives are in their hands or not. They can do something about it during their life or not. I'm dying tomorrow or in such life. Would something remain out of me or not? I want to attain something in this life. What's the point in my life? Because each and every moment that I'm alive and not dead, it's also suffering from me.
Because my awareness does not just let me go through my day. I can't be drunk all the time. I'm looking at my life, and I can see a moment's passed, another moment's passed. Not that I want to acquire it, but I have some sort of deficiency to understand why and for what, and what's happening to me. There are many questions that brings a person to search for the root of life. And then we find out that the root of life is the force that created me. How can I reach this force? How can I reach it? If I discover the I. What's the I? The same source of the true question, what's the meaning of life? That's the I of the person. Because then I'm asking about myself, not about everything around me. And if I'm asking about myself, so accordingly to that I, that I'm asking about who created that I, then therefore it's important to find out, to discover it. Yes. What? There's a quote from the writings of Rabash, third volume. He writes, "The pleasure cancels out the mind and does not let you think about the meaning of life. Also, sufferings also cancels the mind because a person is worrying only to exit the sufferings. Only dissatisfaction of the state that he is in, that causes him to think about the meaning of life, and then his mind starts thinking, what's he doing in this world, and what does he need to reach?" Let's proceed. Page 388, titled "The Will to Receive, Existence from Absence." To move a step forward in a scientific manner here, all we need is the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is because all the teachings in the world are included in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Included because the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us how the lights and vessels descend from the upper world downwards, and then afterwards how these two forces, light and vessel as plus and minus, in many different forms, in many opposite forms, in different levels of inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, how they work in our world. And there's nothing more than that. There's two opposite forces who descend from above, come to our world, and in this world, in different forms of matter, they create for themselves different forms. Meaning also in our world, it's the same light and vessel, but they have the external clothing, like inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. Also in the upper worlds, there's also vegetative, animate, inanimate, and human, but on the spiritual level. So we're learning about these four levels in the combination of these two forces, lights and vessels. That's called the wisdom of Kabbalah in the spiritual world. And in our world, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, then we see these forces as clothings of the giving force and receiving force, plus, minus, north, south, doesn't matter how you want to call it. It's these two opposite forces, and it's called the science of this world. So basically, that's what the person deals with, engages with. Therefore, he's saying that the sciences in this world are results from the wisdom of Kabbalah. There's an article about it. Wisdom of Kabbalah is the root of all sciences. Something like that. Never mind. Go ahead. We're reading from the first paragraph, third line. Concerning spiritual lights and vessels, we learn that the primary innovation from the perspective of the creation, which has created existence from absence, applies to one aspect only, defined as the will to receive. All other matters in the whole of creation are not innovations at all. They are not existence from absence, but existence from existence. Meaning there is only light and a vessel. Will to receive is the creature, and the light is the creator. This means that they extend directly from his essence, as the light extends from the sun. There too, there is nothing new, since what is found in the core of the sun extends outwardly. However, the will to receive is complete novelty, meaning, prior to the creation, such a thing did not exist in reality, since he has no aspect of desire to receive, and he precedes everything. So from whom would he receive? For this reason, this will to receive, which he extracted as existence from absence, is complete novelty, But all the rest is not considered an innovation that could be called creation. Hence, all the vessels and bodies, both from spiritual worlds and from physical worlds, are deemed spiritual or corporeal substance, whose nature is the will to receive. Okay, questions? Meaning, all the creation is the will to receive. In different levels, in different manners, there's nothing more than that. And, title, Two Forces in the Will to Receive, Attracting Force and Rejecting Force. You need to determine further that we distinguish two forces in that force called the will to receive. A, the attracting force. B, the rejecting force. The reason is that each body or vessel defined by the will to receive is indeed limited, meaning the quality it will receive and the quantity it will receive. Therefore, all the quantity and quality that are outside its boundaries appear to be against its nature. Hence, it rejects them. Thus, the will to receive, although it is deemed an attracting force, is compelled to become a rejecting force as well. That's because it was created by the light. Therefore, even though it's a will to receive, but the light implants in him its own quality, which is called will to bestow. And that's where the rejecting force comes. So in each matter, there are two forces. Attracting force, the rejecting force. Let's say Earth. Earth is the attracting force, but if it falls on the Earth, then it has the rejecting force. And it's in everything, in macro or in micro. Never mind how. Also, us humans to one another. To which extent I bring people closer to me, and for which extent I can't take it anymore and I reject them. So also on the mental level. So on all different types of level, there are always these two forces, and they should be more or less equalized to one another. Like pressure. This is called nature's balance, basically. If this balance does not exist, then we feel and sense different problems, crisis, and so on. Therefore, the harmony, the balance between the rejecting and attracting force is actually a state that nature, human, beast, vegetative, or the different forms of chemical or physical or genetic or biological, they're always drawn to this state, to balance the rejecting force with the attracting force. Yes, what? Baal Sulam is writing in such a scientific language, and also the explanation is also very scientific, that it happens in physical, that it's happening fine, but how's it got to do with me? Well, I explained to you already. You with your surroundings, you with your family, you with everything, in consciously or subconsciously, you're always attracted to homeostasis, balance between attracting force and rejecting force. Only in the middle, when these two forces are balanced, then you feel comfort, you feel good. Only in the middle. Yes. So what's the attracting force in me, and what's the rejecting force in me, and how do I bring them to balance? That's what you're doing every moment. You don't even understand it. You're sitting like this with your hands. Why are you sitting like this, posing like this? Because these two forces are balanced now in you. That's it. Yeah. So it happens by itself, yes, also. And also it can happen consciously. I want to balance myself with my landlord, with my house, with my bank, with my wife, with the children, with food, with hunger, with my teeth, everything. Everything in me is to reach a state that there, I'm not having any pressure, not from this side and not from that side. These two forces, they exist. Nothing you can do about that. But to neutralize them is our natural tendency. And it's good, or is it just the way it happens? That's the law of nature. It's not good nor bad. It's the law of nature that works on us that way. And that's what we're doing. Consciously, subconsciously, we're doing it. Yeah? So how can I use it? Why is he telling me this? Oh, wait. We're only at the start now. But you've learned something, right? So let's go now and see how maybe we can control this law. And then reach something above it. If it controls us instinctively, naturally, then if I transcend above it, then maybe I can reach something above nature. If I, matter, there's matter in me, and there's inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, all these levels are in me. And in all these levels, I'm attracted to balance. And I never reach this balance. So either I can, by the wisdom of Kabbalah, I can understand and realize the balance, and then I'll feel like heaven, absolute comfort. Or, by balance or imbalance that I'll start researching, I'll reach states which are above nature. We'll see what he says, I don't know, but he's explaining to you the main law in nature. But if it's all the time attracted to balance, why isn't it reaching balance? I don't know, but what I know is that it's that way in our life. And each moment that I want to get closer to balance, then I find even larger imbalance. Whoever wants 100, later wants 200, and then he wants 400. He never gets filled, he never gets to balance. Always the attracting force and the rejecting force are, well, they're just not in balance. What can I say? They're not. It's a law that controls our life. For example, diseases. Let's say I have high blood pressure. What does that mean? That my inner system isn't capable of holding itself in balance of pressure. That's it. So I need to get some chemical medicine which will balance it in some way. Let's say it's pressuring me 80 kilometers of air. So in me, I have this same mechanism that balances me. Otherwise, I would be, how do you say, an omelet. So everything is like that in nature. On all levels. And if you see that it does not exist, then you can see movement towards balance. It's obvious. Yeah, let's proceed. One law to all the worlds. And even though the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks nothing of our corporeal world, there is one law for all the worlds. Thus, all the corporeal entities in our world, that is, everything within that space, be it still, vegetative, animate, a spiritual object or a corporeal object, if we want to distinguish the unique self aspect of each of them, how they differentiate from one another, even in the smallest of particles, it amounts to no more than a desire to receive. This is its entire particular form from the perspective of the generated creation, limiting it in quantity and quality. As a result, there is an attracting force and the rejecting force in it. Page 390. Yet, anything other that exists in it besides these two forces is deemed the bounty from his essence. That bounty is equal for all creatures, and it presents no innovation with respect to creation, as it extends existence from existence. Also, it cannot be ascribed to any particular unit, but only to things that are common to all parts of creation, small or large. Each of them receive from that bounty according to its will to receive, and this limitation defines each individual and unit. Thus, I've evidently, from a purely scientific perspective, proven the self, the ego, of every individual in a scientific, completely criticism-proof method, even according to the system of the fanatic, automatic materialists. From now on, we have no need for those lame methods dipped in metaphysics. And of course, it makes no difference whether this force, being the will to receive, is a result and a fruit of the material that had produced it through chemistry, or that the material is a result and a fruit of that force. This is because we know that the main thing is that only this force imprinted in every being and atom of the will to receive within its boundaries is the unit where it is separated and distinguished from its environment. And this holds true both for a single atom or for a group of atoms called a body. All other discernments in which there is a surplus of that force are not related in any way to that particle or that group of particles with respect to itself, but only with respect to the whole, which is the bounty extended to them from the Creator, which is common to all parts of creation together, without distinction of specific created bodies.
Meaning we have nothing more than the desire to receive, where this desire to receive is managed by the pleasures, and then it is drawn or rejected from one state to another. Nothing by it but that. Not a soul, and not this world, and not the next world. All the structure, nothing. In all that there is, even in the spiritual world, even in the corporeal world, other than the desire to receive, there is nothing. Now, let's see by what are we coming, nevertheless, to the things that they call eternal and so on. And so forth, above the desire to receive, where is it? Can we understand and see that matter of the desire to receive and understand that what he's talking about, that indeed everything follows it? But what is that bounty that is drawn from the Creator, bless He? The light, the force that revived that will to receive. Leave the Creator, bless He, leave the bounty. We know that there's two things in creation, the desire to receive and the pleasure that activates it. That's all. Those two things exist. Say light and vessel, say pleasure and desire. Say feeling and emptiness. Doesn't matter how, on all kind of levels and degrees. In the chemical elements and physics and whatever. Just those two things exist. Either it's the structure of the solid thing with its crystals and so on, or a different structure, a liquids or biochemical elements that are alive, or doesn't matter what. All in all, you can always distill it to the degree of desire and the feeling. Check out how the atoms unite into molecules according to the free electrons. Check out how they connect into special elements like bricks. Then those bricks connect into, according to the valences, to chemical particles. Later on, the chemical particles divide according to the degrees, every time to a different degree. They connect between them to biological bodies. Later on, from the biological parts, you have all kinds of shapes, which are different, say, organs of the body and so on. But in each and everything within its basis is the desire to receive and the corresponding feeling. That's all. Can you measure it? Can you measure those foundations as the desire to receive and the feeling? We measure it in the matter in us. We measure it by force, the force of gravity, the number of electrons, on the valences, in chemistry, say H2O or CH5O and so on, how they are united, those things, connecting those things, or later on how they connected in a biological form. This is according to a different software, in order to be heart, liver, lungs, and so on, meaning. But constantly, always you see the same law, just on a different degree of existence. So if the whole matter of creation in our world is a desire to receive and the feeling, and also Kabbalists tell us even in the spiritual world, let's find now in those two things, where is the I, the self? Because if everything is a machine, everything is a matter, and we're simply in something that is like a pile of desire to receive of this matter, and that's it. Or there is in here something that is not pre-planned, that is the I of the person. Or the difference between a person and a beast is the person knowing his intellect to discern that it is him and that he exists. And he observes himself as if from above, learn his own nature, his medicine and so on. Seemingly, does beyond that, do we have, aside from this recognition, the ability to ascend to nevertheless a higher degree? This is what he speaks of. One of our viewers from the US says, the nature is neither good nor bad. So why do the Kabbalists say that the Creator is good and benevolent? He is right. Nature, what we discover, is neither good nor bad. And not about this nature we are saying that the Creator is good and benevolent. Because good and benevolent is revealed to us at the end of the day, after the corrections. When we come to the degree of the Creator, we will understand that He is good and benevolent. Now we do not reveal this Creator and we don't see any good and benevolence. Okay? We're in page 390. That's the thought, the logic. Is it a materialistic thing or not? Yes, it is a materialistic thing. So what? The fact you cannot grasp it by your hand? But I grasp your thoughts. I have a criticism from the outside whether I'm erring or not. Not from within, from the outside. I feel it. So, okay. That's a materialistic thing. You can absorb thoughts. Ask your wife. She'll say about you. I'm alone without my wife. I'm feeling that what he tells me whether I'm being wrong or not. That's maybe hearing voices, I don't know. We all like that. In short, It's all matter. You know, even radio waves, are they a matter or not? What do you mean, I don't know? You're grasping them, you're using them. Do you believe me that I have tea in here? Why? You see some liquid in here, yeah? And I warm it up, it becomes steam. Do you see them? Steam? The humidity in the air, can you see? I can heat it up so that it will all evaporate into the air and you will not see and not discover it. It will evaporate, yeah? So does it exist or not? It exists. How do you know? Because I saw it previously. And if you haven't seen it before, so it doesn't exist. You see how relative it is? Now, these things, I can cool it down. It will fall, say, as a rain. And again, it will become water. This water, I can cool further, it will be a piece of ice, solid. Some of you feel in your hands. So you see those things that are disappearing and again materialize How shall we say? He called it the cases of the essence. Oh, he's a wise guy. It moves. It goes through transition. Yeah? Meaning you cannot determine according to your sensations whether something exists or not. Because there's still many things that are as steams, still has not materialized, are not in your perception of your five senses. So do they exist? Well, you just need a sensor, a sense to discover it. So here they teach you how to disclose it. The Bala Sulam says that also electricity we cannot sense, but exists. Now, this thing I explained before, that, which allow me to criticize, scrutinize my thoughts. Should I say it exists and I do not see it? What is the question? Is it spiritual or not? No. Yes. Why is there actually a movement in the system to start with? So if there's a desire to receive, and it feels it, then it should be static. And if the Creator created the desire to receive by a force to bestow, then this system must come to equilibrium and stop. That's it, right? To some equivalence between those forces and to stop. Why this stopping doesn't occur, rather it doesn't move, because one more force acts in the... You're right, the force that acts in the creature is included of two forces. The Creator didn't only want to give pleasure to the desire it created, he wants to bring the Creator to resemble him. Therefore, within the desire, there's a sensation of the pleasure, and within the sensation of the pleasure, also disclose the sensation of the giver of the pleasure. And that didn't exist. So when we ask why and what for, and otherwise it will just give us, make us life bitter, our life bitter, and otherwise we'll be like a beast and everything would be great. And the animals come to that nice, pleasurable balance. Meaning nature would have stopped, would come to a halt, to a certain balance, a certain balance. And because there is the goal to bring the whole of creation, both the steel and the electrons and the atoms and the steel and vegetative and animate, all of it to resemble the Creator, even the smallest desires, the most steel desires, doesn't matter. Therefore, there is movement in everything. From the giver of the movement, who's giving the movement? Not their desire to receive the pleasure, rather within the pleasure, there is a sensation of the giver. You asked nicely. Yes. Well, come on. If there's no connection between corporality and spirituality, what is still bridging that gap? We still haven't come to what is spiritual. What is going on with you? What are you asking about? You're constantly saying there's no connection. Not that there is no connection, that we still have not clarified what is spiritual. We are you just agreed that in our world there is no spiritual, that the body is like a piece of protein and it has no soul, and that's it. And there's nothing to imagine, you know? That there's something outside of it. Soon we'll discover how we won't finish today, but how out of this protein that we are acting it in a special way, how we're giving birth to a soul out of zero, out of nothing that's within us. Yes.
So the basic question of Kabbalah is, who am I? So can I answer, I am a will to receive? Yes. Okay, so the second question. So in me is not only a will to receive, but also a will to give. But the will to give is also in order to receive. So how do I answer this question? You have nothing to answer. Also, if you give, you're doing it for your own benefit. What about the next stage? There's no next stage. The next stage is the soul. That's not from nature. That if you today give me a gift, then I understand that you get pleasure from that. And this pleasure compels you to do so, meaning you're drawn to balance by the rejecting force and by the attracting force. And it's realized in this manner. Either you kill someone or you give someone a gift. That's it. But how do you give birth to this soul, which is called bestowal, that can't even come from this matter? That we'll learn about next time. Let's continue in the meantime. Page 390, third paragraph from below. Now we shall understand the matter of the freedom of the individual according to the definition of the first factor, which we called the source, where all the previous generations, which are the ancestors of that individual, have imprinted their nature. As we have clarified, the meaning of the word individual is but the boundaries of the will to receive imprinted in its group of molecules. Thus you see that all the tendencies he has inherited from his ancestors are indeed no more than boundaries of his will to receive, either related to the attracting force in him or to the rejecting force in him, which appear before us as tendencies for stinginess or generosity or a tendency to mingle or to stay secluded and so on. Because of that, they really are his self-ego fighting for his existence. Thus, if we eradicate even a single tendency from that individual, we are considered to be cutting off an actual organ from his essence. And it is also considered a genuine loss for all creation, because there is no other like it, nor will there ever be like it in the whole world. After we have thoroughly clarified the just right of the individual according to the natural laws, let us turn and see just how practical it is, without compromising the theory of ethics and statesmanship, and most important, how this right is applied by our holy Torah. Yes? Question. He's writing, All the importance of the individual is by the will to receive. All those tendencies. He's asking about the text. That all the tendencies in the individual are the boundaries of the will to receive, imprinted in its group of molecules. Meaning, what's he special in? He's special, each and every one of us is special, that in them, in you, the balance between the forces is different than others. I have, let's say, blood pressure 140 by 90, you have 130 by 70. And for him it's different, and for him it's different. Each one creates his border with the balance between the rejecting and attracting force. And he does it in a different way. So what's he trying to say is that each person has a root, a special root of a soul, unique root of their soul. Where does it say? Why are you connecting that? Because he's saying here, so, but why is it the root of the soul? Each person has, I don't know, a motor in his tummy that compels him to act this way. Well, it's the root of the soul. It's genes, hormones. Why are you saying root of the soul? It's not. It's not spirituality. Yet. It's the only form that each and every one has in them. So we're saying each and every one is an individual. We have our fingerprints, our eye prints, all these things that are individual for each and every person. But don't think that it's the soul. No. No, not at all. Soul is what we receive from nature? No. What? Soul that's clothed in this flesh? No. So how can you say that these things that I inherited from my forefathers and I got from my education in kindergarten, but...
No.
He writes here, if we see a tendency from an individual, if we destroy a tendency from a person, then we're cutting off an actual organ from the essence. But we know that nature is drawing the creatures. What's the question? Why is he blaming the creatures? Everything is from above. So how are the creatures? How is it their fault?
Yes.
You're right. When the creatures develop naturally, and then they influence one another, but if the creatures start acting to one another and to on purpose translate someone, enslave someone, then of course we are in some sort of connection and unity between us. But it's not called that we're suppressing one another. But it's not natural. Put it this way. The natural balance equalizes with each and everyone's individual balance. That's called if a society is all right, if they're developing naturally. But if we start pressuring someone to change their border, then it's called that we're eradicating his ability to develop individually or freely. We'll speak about it next time. Few messages to conclude. Ask the Kabbalists. Answers to everything you ever wanted to know. Every Sundays and Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Israel time. Questions can be asked at any time through www.lightman.co.il or 1-700-509-209. Rav Lightman's lectures at Kabbalah La'am take place Tuesdays, 7 p.m. 112 Jabotinsky Street, Petach Tikva. Entry and no charge. But that will conclude. Thank you and have a great day or night.
בית. אין צמצום בבין העת לגופה. נראים אחרת חבריי, לא מודש מהם עד לכיסופה. ואנחנו רק צריכים ללמוד איך לחיות כולנו להשפיע, כך שמי בורא נראה יגרות סימנים שעוד מעט נגיע. שוב בינינו פער ענקי, שוב הערב